Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Modena. Welcome to it. It's our Wednesday edition of Point of View. So Ntabise Ntobazana is going to be joining us just after 9 o'clock. Start sending those questions in right now so that she can start preparing for your responses and look through the law as you requested for her to do. So the number, as you know, is 086-000-959, and you can send the voice notes on 063-688-0959. You may have already heard that there has been a second training camp that was investigated by CIRA. They are concerned about the activities that are going on there, or at least were going on there, when they look at the kind of certification and the regulations that are in front of them and what the camp organizers and managers and those who were the company that was running their training in, it doesn't seem to be aligning. So on the line with us, the CEO, Private Security Industry Regulator Authority, Manabela Chauke, on the line. Thank you so much for making time for us, Mr. Chauke. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Camille, and good evening to the listeners.
Obviously, today we heard of the second military camp, and I'm going to call it military camp because I'm not sure whether for now, while there is an investigation, we can clear the fact that it wasn't actually military activities going on there. How much do you know about what was actually happening in that camp?
Yeah, I think maybe first off, let's clear the issue about being the second. First, we're referring to the same company that was accredited in the beginning, and
yes,
they are running another site.
Should we call it a second base or sort of another location?
A second base, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we refer to it as the second is because we didn't know about it and we didn't accredit it.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of activities there is that they were training Libyan nationals, and which is probably the most worrying thing that that brings us here today, and some of the activities that were happening there.
All right. So the Military Day Security Services is the company you're referring to. They're the company that came to you as CIRA to get accreditation, right? And they is, as you're saying, there are two bases. There's base one that was allocated accreditation for particular activities. Whether they actually did what they asked for is a different story. You're still investigating. Then there's base camp two. When you issue your certification and accreditation, does it have to be location based? In other words, is the accreditation for the company to do particular training, or is it location-based, as in base one, base two has to do one, and base two has to do X? Is it? How does it work?
Let's simplify it this way. If you apply for accreditation to teach three classes,
yeah,
say, for instance, you teach class grade 9, grade 10, grade 12,
yeah,
we would like to see all the classes, isn't it?
Ah, got you.
So that's where the position is. So the rest of the other classes, say you want to extend your grade 12 classes to a different location,
mm,
you have to go and see if those classes,
mm-hmm,
meet all the requirements. Physically, there is a class, there's desks, there's chairs, there's, mm, all the training aids that we need. So those are the boxes that they tick. Of course, the training material, are you using the curriculum that is approved? Are you using the standards that is approved, the assessment standard, and so on and so on? So that's basically what we do as well with the training schools.
In other words, if I could just confirm that I follow, I am a group, a holding company, and I run schools. When I apply for accreditation, I must identify the fact that school X will be based at Kaya House at the corner of Jan Smuts, and so on and so on and so on. If I want to run another school, I do have to still apply to you and say, I want to expand and I want to run school at location B.
That's correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And in this case, the company that came for the accreditation told you about Kaya House in Jan Smuts Avenue, but they didn't tell you about location B.
That's correct. That's exactly what happened.
So how did you find this particular location?
As we explained, we're working together with other security agencies, such as the police. They informed us when we started investigating. As you might know, that on the 26th, there was a raid and they were arrested. But we've been on site even before that, doing the groundwork with the investigation and all of that.
Hmm. Location B, did it have any accreditation at all to run anything there?
There was absolutely no accreditation. In fact, what they did, they took the same credentials of location A and mirrored them on location B, giving people the impression that actually location A is also accredited.
Hmm. So what was the process? Have you completely shut location B down? Did you ask them to stop any activities there?
Location B was shut down even before the arresting activities took place,
mm-hmm.
Because it was illegal from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And what we needed to ascertain was many other things, like the activities that were taking place there, why they were happening, all the documentation, the people that were there, and all of that. So the shutting down of the actual training took place even before that. So the process that is unfolding right now is to actually deal with the accountability of location A, which is the original carriers of an accreditation.
Okay. As far as I understand it, there are two companies here. There is the owner of the facility, or let's call it the location.
Then it's there one is, entity, actually.
Is it one entity? So they both
one
own
entity.
The facility and also do
correct.
The... So they do everything. Okay, so which makes
correct.
It, I think, a little bit easier. So this particular entity, from your own records... How many facilities are they running?
Well, we only accredited one facility. The second facility, as we say, was illegal. And that's the facility where the foreign nationals were.
No, I'm saying besides these two particular ones that have been in the news, do they own any other?
Well, we're not aware of any other in terms of the accreditation from ourselves, except for the ones that we have accredited, which is the one
facility.
Site, yes. The main issue here, apart from the training that's taking there, is the issue that there is Libyans there.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that in Libya there is almost an armed conflict. There is instability in Libya, and as a result, none of the South Africans is allowed to participate in military activities or assistance of any national that is coming from an area where there is conflict.
So then, Facility A, I know there were arrests. Did you shut
yes.
it down, apart from the arrests themselves?
We served Facility A with a notice of suspension.
Mm-hmm.
They have 7 days to come back to us and explain why we should not be suspending.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, we know of the legal proceedings against the individuals who are there, as you're saying, Libyans, the owners then of the facility. What kind of other legal processes are going on, apart from you investigating, or at least apart from you asking them to explain why it shouldn't be shut down?
Well, they're facing a possible prosecution from our side. As the regulator, they're also facing possible criminal prosecution
mm-hmm.
for violating the regulation of Foreign Military Assistance Act.
If they are still it's a possibility. In the meantime, nothing has happened, as far as I understand. They still have the 7 days.
The 7 days is with regard to the business, as well as they themselves as a person, the directors of the company, to explain themselves insofar as their registration. Remember, every security company, every security business, training or not training, they are bound by a code of conduct to adhere to the laws of the country. If they fail to do so, we hold them to account, and if they are found to be wanting, we may suspend their registration, prosecute them. If we find them guilty, we may withdraw their registration, or we may impose a fine on them up to 1 million rand, or criminally prosecute them, and they may be sent to 5 years in prison.
Mm. I just want to understand other things about your own activities. You my understanding is that you have about 16,000 companies that you regulate so far as we speak. And I don't imagine that you go and check every single one of them out. But how do you anyway have the oversight that you should have on all these companies? Do you visit them regularly? Do you wait for a whistleblower to say something? How do you anyway manage to regulate these companies that you authorize to do the work that they do?
We do daily visits. In fact, every day, apart from the 16,000 companies, we've got 650,000 active security officers. Of the 2.7 million security officers we've registered in the country, we check all of them randomly at any given point. The registrations that we've given to them are such that are conditional, that they comply with certain reports on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, and so on. So that's how we keep tabs on them. They have to pay certain licenses, they have to do certain renewals, they have to do certain reporting, and so on. With regard to the training schools, for instance, they have to be sending assessment reports, and so on and so on. So those are the activities. Apart from that, we also engage them in many various ways. We do workshops, we do all sorts of things. We also do random checks. They have also associations and their peers who are actually keeping tabs on them. So there's many other mechanisms that we use apart from physically going to them, which is practically impossible to go to everyone, as we say.
So can I just safely say that with regards to this particular company that has come to the media's attention, both location A and B had never, ever been spot-checked since their operations?
No. We have done quite a number of visits to location A. We've mentioned today that we've been there in the last 11 months. We were actually engaging with them apart from the 11 months. We engage with them almost on a monthly basis because, remember, they've been training, running also training there with regard to the low cost, and there's not been any issues there. So they would have sent their cost reports, they would have sent all the other stuff through that process. So there shouldn't have been a problem there, apart from the fact that they then invited the second camp, which then was not accredited and was training foreign nationals and not following the law. So that's where the problem is.
Well, I mean, according to what you're saying, if there were spot checks and there were a number of times, and I don't know how many times you would have had sight of location A, apart from them sending you reports where they could obviously lie, you were not able to pick up the fact that there were foreign nationals there doing a military training from a country that we are not allowed to engage with in this sense.
I think we have to be very honest. If people are hiding activities, there's just no way we could know about them. There's a number of things that happened that led to us knowing about this. And of course, the foreign nationals found themselves in the nearest locations there. And of course, they ran into some trouble, and that's how people started reporting to the police. But we've met people who are not speaking the language, the local language. We don't know where they come from, and so on. And so that's how we started all these checks.
Yes, but that's the point. Without the whistleblowers, your own checks and balances couldn't do the work. 95 foreign nationals. I don't know how you could miss that if there was a spot check.
We would appreciate the assistance of members of the public. And I think as much as we would want to be everywhere, every corner, it's practically impossible. As we said, we've got 16,000 companies. If we were to have a ratio of 1:1, it means we must have 16,000 inspectors. That is impracticable, and I don't think that is what regulation would be intended to do. So one other thing is, when you regulate businesses, you do not go to their offices almost on a daily basis and check with them all the time. You depend also on the integrity of people that you license. That is one of the reasons why when we register people, we also check whether they are fit and proper and whether they can do the work, they have the necessary honesty and integrity to perform that work. Those are some of the checks that we do.
If we follow that train of thought, then you would have had alarm bells ringing, looking at the profile of this company just by a simple Google search. They do specify that they actually specialize in military training.
Let me clarify the issue of military training. perhaps the issue here is not the military style training. The issue here is offering military training to foreign nationals who originate from an armed conflict area. So if you were to offer military training in South Africa, you follow all the protocols and the laws and everything. Certainly, I don't think it would be a problem. We have a lot of training camps that are built in such a way that people undergo tactical training. There's no problem with that. They themselves, in the same camp A, they used to go and train anti-poaching, for instance. They would wear camouflage, they would do all sorts of drills there. For as long as these people are within the law, there's certainly no problem.
Except so, that the license you've granted them is not for military training, it's for grade
no, no,
E
no.
to C. Specifically
no, no, no.
them.
I think there's a difference between military training and military style training.
Yes, what I'm trying to say is that exactly. No, I'm with you. I'm saying to
yes.
you that the profile of the company specifies. They don't yes. say military style training. They call themselves specialists in military training. You
well,
gave them a license, and I agree. Of course, well, if you do everything according to the law and you come to you as CIRA and say, as Pimelo, I want to do military style training and military training for different reasons, for tactical training, for poaching. It's not a problem because CIRA will assess my application and decide whether I'm fit or not. I'm saying in this instance, these guys, their profile out there is very clear. And you gave them a clear certificate, grade E to C, which is not for military training, unless if I'm wrong.
Yeah, look, I must say I agree with you. It would be impossible for us to see that website. And if you think of it, we have 16,000 companies. Imagine if we were to want to check all the websites. We depend on the integrity of a person. So if you do not have integrity, certainly you don't belong to this industry. So it's totally impossible to police each and every aspect of everyone's business. Once we license you, you know the requirements, you know the boundaries, you're supposed to stick with them. Should we find you, we deal with you. If you were following our press conference this morning, we mentioned that we dealt with over 220,000 companies in the past 5 years in terms of inspections. Out of those that we dealt with, we were able to prosecute 4,200 individuals that we arrested, 3,400 criminal cases against individuals. We issued fines to over 100 million to individuals who did not follow the law. So there's certainly something that we're doing with those that don't want to follow. And most of those, we withdrew 4,400 businesses registration. These are people who did not want to follow the law.
You know, Mr. Chauke, that makes perfect sense to me. My only concern here is that of course, those are activities you would do once somebody reneges on an agreement you already have with them. They come to you, they present themselves as X, and then they go off and do something else. My concern here is that you as CIRA could not pick up just from a Google search upon application that these people do something else and they've asked you to give you a license for something different. And for me, that's at the very front, at the very forefront of the application. In other words, they should not have even qualified to be allowed to conduct what they're doing.
I agree absolutely with you. When you apply for accreditation with us, we do not do Google searches. We depend on what you present to us. You present to us a vehicle, CIPC, you've registered the business. This is my business profile. This is the business I'm going to do. Register, you pay, follow the rules. These are the rules. So after that, we then depend on the activities that you bring to us. I've trained so many people. This is my training. This is the assessment. So if you decide to go and do something wrong that is outside the law, the only other time we would know, for instance, if there is no catastrophe, it will be when somebody reports you. And that would be the person who then says, hang on, this is wrong. This is outside the law. Because apart from another person coming and saying this, it is impossible for the capacity that is there to police each and everyone. is the same with crime, is the same with everyone else.
Well, I'm not sure I follow
unless, for instance, there is a solution that exists elsewhere, but perhaps where we are not looking at. Okay. We'd like to test it.
Let me pose it to you this way. The gun regulation laws, hopefully, and I'm not saying this is not your responsibility, I'm just making the point, hopefully are there to pick out someone who's not eligible to own a gun, because there is a mechanism to check the person, whether they're fit and proper. You, in your own press conference, made mention of the fact that, you know, this is a threat to national security. I would hope that an organization that is responsible for at least helping, and I'm not saying you're the only ones responsible for national security, would do a bit more. And don't you think we need to review that? Because if we cannot safeguard the fact that the people who are given certification and are given authorities to conduct things like military training, that they are fit and proper, and we rely on whistleblowers, I think sometimes it may be too late.
I absolutely agree with you. Like I said, if there are best mechanisms to deal with these sorts of issues even before they, you know, they rise up in society, we will be glad to learn how it is dealt with. Like, for instance, you've mentioned guns. We will be proposing in the near future to have guns tracked, especially the guns that are used in the private security industry. So that's another mechanism, because integrity of people that you've licensed to possess guns have gone beyond what we expected. So similarly to this one, the best mechanisms that we can use, we will be welcoming to learn from those.
I appreciate your time. CEO of the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, Manabela Chauke. Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.